Democracy Now!, the legendary folk singer and activist, died Monday at the age of 94. He last appeared on Democracy Now! In August. He talked about one of his most famous songs.
The song, If I Had a Hammer, went all sorts of places that I could never go. And I'm very glad. If I had a hammer, a hammer in the morning, a hammer in the evening, all over this land, a hammer out danger, hammer out of warning, hammer out love between all of my brothers. Oh, a woman said, make that my brothers and my sisters. Lee says it doesn't roll off the tongue so well, but she insisted. He said, how about all of my siblings? She didn't think that was funny. Oh, over this land, if I had a song. Don't need to sing the whole song. You can sing it to yourself, whether you're driving a car or washing the dishes or singing to your kids. We haven't mentioned children much on this program, but it may be children realizing that you can't live without love, you can't live without fun and laughter, you can't live without friends. And I say, long live teachers of children, because they can show children how they can save the world.
And we end with more Pete Seeger just 4 months ago.
We shall overcome. We shall overcome. We shall overcome someday. Oh, deep in my heart, I know that I do believe. Oh, we shall.
You've been listening to Pete Seeger in his own words and song. He died yesterday, Monday, at the age of 94. For a copy of today's show, go to our website at democracynow.org and go there to watch all of our Pete Seeger shows, including his 90th birthday celebration featuring Bruce Springsteen, Bernice Johnson Reagan, and Joan Baez. That does it for our broadcast. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Renee Feltzar, Monte Nerman Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Alkop, Hani Massoud, Robbie Karen, Dina Gesler, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks for joining us. Democracy Now! Is a listener-supported grassroots global news hour. You make it possible when you donate at democracynow.org. Thank you so much.
This is Donna with your WUSB concert billboard for Thursday, January 16th. City Winery Manhattan welcomes Cognac and Blues. 7 p.m. The Toby Tobias Ensemble and Brad Cole will be at the Cinema Arts Center in Huntington Village at 7:30. Latinology will be at Treme, Blues and Jazz Bar in Islip. Synchrosanct will be at Barbecue in Patchogue at 8. Jimmy and Emmy, James Maddock, and David Immerglock will be at the Rockwood Music Hall, Manhattan, 9:30. Your WUSB concert billboard for Friday, January 17th. Kathy Krieger will be at St. Paul's Methodist Church in Northport at 7. The Zodiac Trio will be at Le Poisson Rouge, Manhattan, at 7:30. The Paramounts in Huntington Village welcomes 38 Special at 8. Aretha Franklin will be at the Radio City Music Hall, 8 p.m. Bernie Williams will be at The Space at Westbury. Nancy Atlas, featuring Danny Keene, will be at the Bay Street Theater in Sag Harbor. The Band Band will be at the Turning Point in Piermont, 8 p.m. The King Cobras will be at Giacomo Jack's in Amityville, 9 p.m. The Grey Horse Tavern in Bayport welcomes Shecky and the Twang Tones at 10.
I'm Joe Vecchio. If you love what our area has to offer in music from around the block on Long Island to the worldwide sounds of New York City, listen to WUSB Stony Brook and the Concert Billboard.
And you are listening to WUSB Stony Brook. It's 6:03, which means it's time for Off the Wall. and a very good evening to you all. This is Emmanuel. You're listening to Off the Wall. And joining me on the phone is Kyle. Actually, Kyle, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, no, I hear you fine. It's just that I... it's funny. you'll think it's kind of silly. But I had Pierce Morgan on last night, and I heard this rumor that you were thinking of changing your name to Clyde. What was that all about? Did anybody else catch that?
It came up, but yeah, it's a K-L-Y-D-E.
Yeah, I wasn't using my DVR, so I couldn't back it up and see what he actually said, but why would you do that? I mean, you're Kyle. You're not Clyde. Clyde is like, first of all, you got to add about 50 pounds for a Clyde. And I'm kind of thinking, you know, Stone Age, kind of thick, you know? And no offense.
Funny,
it
was actually the name of an intern that was working at a place where I was working, and it was a mistake. And that I'm not confirming the rumor, but I will say that's what was. It was this spelling of Clyde, and it was associated with me somehow. I don't know really the genesis other than that, but.
All right. Well, yeah. I hope common sense dictates what you do, and maybe our listeners can also take part in this. And please, stay Kyle. You're not a Clyde. You're not a Clyde.
Well, there were even jokes, and then like somebody. God, I hope it doesn't. A meme. Clyde S. Dale. I think.
Oh, have you checked Twitter today? Yeah, believe me.
I don't know where these things come from.
It is memed out at the max, and that's a meme.
Yeah, Clyde, and I think it's Super Bowl stuff, you know, because, you know, the beer company.
Oh,
what did
you go and mention the Super
Bowl?
You mentioned the Super Bowl. That was going to be a surprise. I was going to talk about the Super Bowl tonight. Oh, look, you ruined everything.
I'm sorry.
It was a surprise.
I get nervous.
No one knows about it. Do you know the Super Bowl is happening right here in New York in less than a week? See, you're supposed to jump on me now and say, Emmanuel,
this is a trick.
It's not happening in New York. It's happening in New Jersey.
Poor New Jersey.
I know, really. But, you know, I'm sorry, New Jersey. I really am.
Me too. I have family. I've, you know, deep respect for New Jersey.
No, I was saying it sort of like, I'm just sorry, New Jersey, that of all the garbage that, well, first of all, you possess, but second of all, that you have to endure. But, I mean... This is the problem, okay? You have two football teams that play in New Jersey in the same stadium. I've talked about that, and that's weird in and of itself. But they're both called the New York whatevers, New York Jets, New York Giants. If you really want a New Jersey identity, you would insist, you would demand, and I know New Jerseyans, New Jerseyites can demand things, that they be called the New Jersey Giants, New Jersey Jets. But you didn't, and that's why everybody thinks the Super Bowl is in New York. Well, one of the reasons.
It's some kind of advanced marketing technique for travel and leisure, or I don't know what it is, Trenton, maybe.
I was listening to a politician on the way in today on one of the news stations from New Jersey. It was Cory Booker, in fact, the former mayor who's, you know, an up-and-coming star. You'll hear more about him in the years ahead.
I've never heard of him.
Oh, you will. You know, we're going to play back this show in like 10 years, and you'll say, Cory Booker, I can't believe I didn't know who Cory Booker was. Oh, my God. He'll probably be the president. Wouldn't be surprised. But anyway, now I forgot what I was going to say. Oh, yeah, he was talking on the radio, and he was bringing up the Battle of Trenton. And, you know, I'm ignorant. I'll be the first to admit it, and plenty of people will second it. It was in some war. I don't know. It wasn't the Gulf War, either one, as far as I know. I think it was one of the ones before that. It was a Battle of Trenton. And it was a decisive battle, okay? And because of that, Trenton makes and the world takes, or something. I don't know how it relates, but he was bringing that up. Now, first of all, Trenton is nowhere near where this game is being played. I mean, I think that's closer to Philadelphia than it is to New York. But it's just everybody in New Jersey is getting very sensitive now, saying, yeah, you know, we did this and we did that, and we're, you know, it's kind of sad.
That's what I mean by subtle marketing. It's like... They want to be the kind of, it's like a wink, you know, and a nod, like, yeah, you got to be in the know. You got to be in the Jersey club, so to speak, to know, you know, all these details. Yeah, it's apparently in New York, and the New York weather is really on people's minds. I think the Osprey have landed.
Oh, you know about that.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a single Osprey. Are there Osprey in New Jersey? Are there Osprey in New Jersey, Kyle? We saw them out east, but I don't know if there's any in New Jersey. There might be. I don't know, but I'm not sure. Seagulls, they have those. Pigeons.
Yeah, well, waterfowl and seabirds, I mean, we're very...
Well, that's not really fair, Kyle. Water isn't really foul. It's just basically stuff is left in it for a while. But it can be purified.
Absolutely.
I am sorry. I'm giving you a hard time. You have relatives that came from New Jersey.
Yeah, that's why I said I have a deep respect for the area and a lot of friends and people there. And so I cringe when I hear people talking about it being in New York, per se.
Yeah, it bugs me too because it's not... First of all, why can't a New York team play in New York? Everyone has different theories about this.
I don't understand it.
Yeah, but they used to. The Giants used to play in Yankee Stadium. The Jets used to play in Shea Stadium. I don't understand why they can't still do that. Instead, they're both out in New Jersey at the same stadium, which I believe they don't call it this anymore, but it used to be called Giants Stadium, the old stadium, because they have to, for some reason that I also don't understand, they have to tear down stadiums every 30 years or so and rebuild them, which seems to me like a... I mean, we saw the Colosseum in Rome. Did they do that to that? I mean, yeah, it's in sorry shape, but they kept it standing. They didn't rebuild it every 30 years because Romans were getting fatter, you know? I'm sorry, but that's just a sore point with me about all this waste and rebuilding. But, yeah, they used to call it Giants Stadium, and the Jets played there. And that just didn't seem – how did the Jets feel about that? You know, it didn't seem right.
I can't relate because I think – I mean, it's crazy that New York has two teams in
yes.
the state.
Well, three. The only team that plays in the state are the Buffalo Bills. That's the only real New York football team. Do you know that?
Boy, I love losing Super Bowls.
Okay, well, now I should point out, Seattle is in the Super Bowl for the second time, and they're playing against Denver. It is the Cannabis Bowl. Yes, we predicted it, what, over a month ago? And here it is. The Cannabis Bowl is happening. Why do we call it that? Because both states, Colorado and Washington, are the two states that have legalized marijuana, and they both have the best record of NFL teams. And it wasn't that hard to predict that those two teams would meet in the... In the final game, which we have now named the Cannabis Bowl. Now, after the game, which was really a thrilling game last a week ago Sunday between Seattle and San Francisco, all of a sudden, Cannabis Bowl on Twitter you kept seeing it being mentioned. It wasn't a trending topic or anything like that, but suddenly people started to say it. Unfortunately, it hasn't really caught on. Even now, even with days left, you know, this phrase that we coined.
I heard it used a bunch.
Really? It wasn't one of our shows?
No.
Oh.
On public radio, they were using it in various programs.
Well, okay. There are other words that are being thrown around. And there's this guy named Joel Douglas Rogers of Tampa, Florida. Now, let's see. Hold on a second. Oh, is this the person who wrote in? Yeah, okay. I should have read this story a little closer before I started. This guy, Joel Douglas Rogers, in June of 2012, applied to register the trademark Bong Bowl. Yeah, June of 2012, Bong Bowl.
Wow.
And this column that I'm reading right now from comlawblog.com says, what's the big deal? Well, the teams in this year's Super Bowl, the Seattle Seahawks and the Denver Broncos, both happen to hail from states which have recently legalized marijuana. As a result, multiple drug-related nicknames for the big event have been suggested by members of the Great Unwashed. That's us. Weed Bowl, Stoner Bowl, Reefer Bowl, Super Ubi Doobie Bowl.
What? I like that one.
Why didn't we think of that one? Oh, boy. Smoke a bowl with hyphens, et cetera, et cetera. You get the idea. But he didn't mention Cannabis Bowl. That's what really annoys me. We don't know whether his application had anything at all to do with the NFL's premier event, but Bong Bowl could have been a major league moneymaker, particularly since Mr. Rogers, in his application, proposed to use the term on athletic apparel, including sweatshirts, hooded and otherwise, T-shirts, hats, caps, and other such merchandise. Who wouldn't be proud to sport a Bong Bowl hoodie to the nearest sports bar on game day? Well, the good news is, at least as far as USPTO records show, I don't know what that is, and they don't say what that is. I guess you're supposed to know. The NFL didn't oppose Rodgers' application, maybe because of the possibility of a dope bowl. Pinning two weed-approving venues against each other wasn't on the NFL's radar back in 2012. The bad news is that possibility apparently wasn't on Rodgers' radar either. He abandoned his application in August of 2013, just before the current season cranked up. Had he toughed it out and then tried to market bong ball merchandise, the NFL would have been in a difficult spot. On the one hand, in view of its historical tendency to bogart any and all terms, even mildly reflective of the Super Bowl, the NFL might have been all over Rodgers like a cheap suit, insisting he back off and let the NFL reap the profits. But on the other hand, the NFL's substance abuse policy prohibits pot use, so the league might not have wanted to get hooked up with a product that could be seen as promoting just such use. And that may also be why the national anthem at this year's Super Bowl is being sung by opera superstar Renee Fleming and not the Doobie Brothers, and why the halftime entertainment is Bruno Mars and not James Blunt or Snoop Dogg / Lion, joined by a hologram of Bob Marley singing the scat improvisation from Frank Sinatra's Strangers in the Night. So there is talk about this. We're not the only ones, but it's just kind of funny that there's so many variations. And I would imagine probably something else might be more popular than cannabis ball, only because a lot of people can't spell cannabis.
I think the coverage has been really, really hilarious to watch. Has become a thing.
Uh-huh.
People remarking.
Yeah.
The coincidence of the decriminalization efforts in Washington and Colorado and how that's all unfolding at the same time as these two really remarkable teams play.
Now you're required to say that, being a resident of Seattle, that you have to call them remarkable and you got to stand by them and support them, right? It's kind of like a requirement when you live out there.
That's what the sheet that this lawyer handed me says.
Now, what's this whole 12th man thing? Do you understand that?
Yeah, there's only 11 players allowed on the field, but it is said that the fans from yelling and cheering also have a presence, and that has been understood as the 12th person on the field because they're more or less in the proximity of the game and thus on the field as a force, an element, and that is part of the lore around the fans here in Seattle.
So that means Seattle has 12 men and the other team only has 11?
Right, because our...
That's not fair, Kyle.
Our spirit is so much stronger. I mean, the cohesion on the other team is just so, I don't know, patchwork, whatever. I don't want to get into religion, you know, and these kind of things, keep it friendly and the like, but that's the essence of the 12th man. So I have a feeling there's a lot of 12th men out there getting ready for the big game. And it just means that just a lot of people watch. That's it. I mean, it's really just there's a lot of people that watch, and they have the little 12 flags, and, you know, it's just a silly little thing.
Uh-huh. Well, Seattle, for some reason, is known, at least the Seahawks are known, for making more noise, like you've mentioned. It actually registers as a mild earthquake, I think. I saw a scale.
You know what I heard?
Yeah.
I don't know if this is true, but I heard that it's because of the way they designed the stadium here.
Really?
Yeah, like the acoustics are no surprise.
Uh-huh.
And what it does, but that's just sort of something I heard, and I have no way to qualify it. It was just in passing. But yeah, apparently we're quite a ruckus crowd and very loud and boisterous during the game. And hopefully that spirit's transferred out there for Seattle's sake, but we'll see.
Well, it's just kind of funny that Seattle is in the Super Bowl for the second time, and for the first time, the final game is being held right here in the New York area, we'll call it that, to make the New Jerseyites somewhat happy. But yeah, what I saw on somewhere was a scale, basically what a jetliner makes, the noise a jetliner makes, and the Seattle crowd is above that. In fact, serious hearing damage is below the sound that the Seattle Seahawks fans make inside that stadium. So, and they're saying it like they're proud of this, but if you're in there for a game, and the players are in there for every game, wow, it's you might have some permanent hearing damage just because of your fellow people.
Yeah, the other team sometimes does wear earplugs when they're in Seattle.
Uh-huh.
I'm serious. Like, I think there are players that wear earplugs because the fans create such a high decibel level.
Yeah.
Now, a jetliner, I don't know. I mean, it depends on how close you are to a jetliner. And I think it's loud there. I've actually been to a home game here in Seattle. Not down on the field, but in the stands, obviously. It's loud, but I also, I mean, I think I was riding my bicycle and a fighter jet or something took off that was incredibly loud, and that rattles your teeth, you know.
I have a lot of weird things going on out there. Fighter jets taking off and in the middle of the loudest crowd in the world, and it's just, it's pretty wacky and crazy, but...
Well, you remember, Georgetown's noisy.
Yes.
And, well, that's just part of it, so anyway, it's part of the legend, though. Around the Seahawks and that whole part of the game that is now the Super Bowl here.
Do we know anything about the legend of the Broncos? Is there a legend? Do they have anything? No? No, everyone's shaking their heads. No, I don't think... nothing like this. Now, of course, the Seahawks are in the... I almost said Sea Wolves. That, of course, is the Stony Brook team. No, not the Sea Wolves, the Seahawks. I don't know what either one of them is. Is there a Seahawk is a bird?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be a bird.
See, that I can believe. I don't know what a sea wolf is. I don't. That makes
bird
no sense
of
to me.
Prey.
But they were in the Super Bowl once before and they lost, and that was it. This could be the first time. What do you think will happen in Seattle if they win?
Well, you know, I've got anecdotal inklings. Regardless, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of celebrating.
You think?
I was down at a pretty large-sized brewery, and I know a guy that works there, and he was telling me that they're absolutely floored for keg orders. They've got all kinds of new customers and people planning for the weekend.
Well, I understand.
That surprised me, but it made a lot of sense at the same time.
I understand that it's been something like 35 years since a major team has won a championship in Seattle. I think it was the Seattle Supersonics, who, of course, moved to, what, Oklahoma? Even I don't see the logic of that. But if you don't count the Seattle Sounders from soccer, which I would count them because I think I saw the Seattle Sounders crowd when I was out there, and they're pretty enthusiastic and big. But if you want to count just the major sports in this country, it's been over three decades since there was a championship.
Yeah, it's really a thrill. I mean, I remember vaguely some of the older Seahawks stuff, not really any championship games other than the more recent attempt, as you noted. And then the Mariners, obviously, in the 90s and the Sonics a little bit. I think a lot of people are excited, but it's very business-like, you know, atmosphere. I think there's tension. People are really anxious for the game. But there's memorabilia. That 12 symbol you've been talking about is everywhere.
Yes.
Every car and windshield. You hear the flags flapping as they go down the street and stuff.
Well, don't you live on 12th Street? Oh, I shouldn't have given that out over the air, but...
oh, my gosh!
I would imagine... I'm sorry, but I didn't mention you were apartment 12. Uh-oh. Well, point is...
No, I'm not kidding, E. Like, yeah. I mean, kids are screaming at whatever television show, like, go Seahawks! And I go, you know, just Seattle, and just shouting and screaming, and uh-huh. It's just a completely, like... ubiquitous thing. Everybody is all of a sudden a Seahawks fan. We have all of a sudden now the 13th man. I don't know if you heard about that.
13th
man? It's getting out of hand, E, really. I mean, we've got new Seahawks and all this partying and legalizing, and it's amazing. It's a really quite an atmosphere.
Well, I was actually watching that game where they won. It was a very exciting, probably the most exciting football game I've ever sat through, because I usually think football is pretty dull and boring. But it was exciting, and then that whole thing with Richard Sherman at the end where he went into a tirade in an interview, that was awesome. And the talk afterwards has been really interesting and revealing. People's reaction to what he said and his reaction and the fact that never mind, my phone makes this noise every time somebody says something about me on Twitter, and today for some reason everyone's talking about my nickname on Twitter. I don't know why. It's going off every few minutes, it seems.
I think I got fairy, like some glitter on me or something.
Yeah, you know, I don't know how to turn that noise off. I haven't gotten around to it yet. You know, it's just to bypass the football talk for a second so I can rant about smartphones. I've had the smartphone since, what, November? Haven't had a chance even to, like, enter all my contacts, because the way they did it, you can't simply transfer it from one phone to the other. You got to enter it all over again. That's really smart. Nice smartphone there. But all these little things that you have to know. I did not know for literally a month that my voicemail was going someplace else. They didn't tell me this. There's no manual. There's nothing to tell me that I now have something called visual voicemail. What that is, you have to hit a certain icon and drag it down, and there are all your voicemails. You can hear them through your phone, but they don't show up in your voicemail where you expect them to be if you don't know about this. And when I tell people this, they invariably say, oh, yeah, visual voicemail. It's really good. You should use it. How am I supposed to know if they don't tell me? And the answer I always get is that, well, that's the way it is. You know, that's the way it was on my last phone. That's the way it is now. So that's really not really an explanation. And I keep getting this for every little thing. Like, for instance, if you want to get something off the screen, you swipe it to the right. How am I supposed to know that's what you're supposed to do? Because that's how it's done. These aren't answers to questions. These aren't ways of getting people to use something. They're ways to make people who already use the device feel like they're smarter than everybody else, but it's not a way to explain it to other people to make it something that that we all know how to do.
That's a good basic tip, that swiping thing, and it's funny to hear as someone who has had other, like, older versions of smartphones. Because I think on the current phone I have visual voicemail, something that I can still call and have set up as a more advanced feature, and I've accidentally selected that, you know, almost, you know, gone into, and then it prompts all these prompts and tells you to sign up or call because it isn't set up or something or other like that. It's pretty funny, and then now you're just sort of dropped right into that. And that's what happens with a lot of these phones. You have one or the other that's an older legacy technology, and you're thrust into this new plan that is sort of unregulated, and it's basically their whipped up version of whatever new stuff they've packaged, and you lose features and different ways of measuring things, and perhaps as you're saying, like, critical things where actual content, you know, voicemails and the like, communications, where they actually go, that could be really disruptive.
Yeah, the real kicker is there's no documentation to tell you. If there is documentation, it's someplace online. They don't even tell you where it is online. And you have to sort of just know this stuff or have it passed down by some wizard someplace. You know, it's all these little icons on top of the phone that I don't know what they mean. I really don't understand what they mean. And I guess they're used on other phones. They've been used on other phones. I've resisted smartphones for a long time. I've used my basic phone until basically stopped working. And I really just like phones for the sake of being phones. And the other thing that happens, and this happens when someone hands me their phone to show me something, invariably I touch something I'm not supposed to touch, because I don't know where all the little tiny buttons are or where the on-screen menus wind up. And virtually every time I just touch it, it goes into some mode it's not supposed to go into. And I feel like a real klutz. But, you know, I don't think it's my fault. I really don't.
One of when people hand you their phones, you should just go to a private web page that you've set up and download some of your own custom malware.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I handed my phone to somebody, and they installed an app. I think that's rude. Is that not rude? You hand a phone to somebody, and, oh, here's an app, by the way, I just put on your phone. Come on. That's stepping over the line, I think.
Yeah, you take their phone and download, go to your own private website, download your own malware or spyware on their phone, and then, they've tweeted 12,000 times or whatever.
No, they had
you
some...
You hand it back to them, and you say thanks.
They had some angry pals or aunts or, I don't know, something that was very angry, and I couldn't figure out what to do with them. I didn't understand the point. Why were they angry? What are they angry at? Something to do with pigs and... I don't know. It's just not right.
On social media?
Yeah, don't even get me started on social media.
It's Farmville.
No, I don't go to Farmville.
Oh, okay.
Okay, that was my rant on smartphones, only because...
we should touch on that again. I think there's a lot there.
As long as I don't touch the phone, yes, we should touch on that again, because there is a lot there. And there are so many weird little things. And I find out also, when I do finally get to the root of the matter and say, well, how come you can't do this, which makes a lot more sense than doing that, the answer is always, oh, I don't know.
I'm not a developer.
Nobody really understands it in the end. You get to this point, well, how come I can't get this to work on Bluetooth when that makes sense? Or for instance, I'm using something that would make a lot more sense if I didn't have to look at the screen, say I was driving or something like that. Wouldn't it make sense to have it do something on Bluetooth? And no, they never thought of that. I can't think of the specific examples. I just know there are a few of them, and I could write them down, I suppose.
Well, there's an underlying theme, I think, and this is something we've really started to see around us,
mm-hmm.
and I think we'll talk about stories and about what to do about it in the future in greater detail, but it's this concept of, like, different systems being private and locked out or not integrating well amongst other systems. Like, the word backwards compatibility, like, that used to be a staple. Things
yes.
used to work, backwards as they would evolve, the standards and things like that. And really, there's a lot still to be desired, I think, even with, like, these smartphones having a lot of control and flexibility. People still, the barrier to actually being able to do a lot of what you can imagine is still pretty high in some cases.
Yes, it is true. I guess the only thing I'm trying to say is that if you have a cool bit of technology, I'm not saying it's not cool. It really is pretty amazing and awesome, although I do kind of take exception to the default settings, which basically advertise where you are at all times. And I found several times that's kind of turned itself on when I didn't ask it to. And I kind of like to keep some things private. And I know that's not in fashion these days, but it is true. But if you have access to this, be open about it. Share it. Don't make it your own little exclusive club where we know how it works, and these people don't know how it works, and we're cooler than them, and we're going to talk in our special little code language.
We're looking for just the tiniest thing to make it proprietary when the rest of it is open or whatnot. I mean,
mm-hmm.
whatever the case is, but just looking for reasons to keep things closed and not innovating and opening them up and, like, integrating them with other devices and really, like, trying to make things unified.
Yeah, absolutely. Other than that, though, it's been fine. Just kind of, like, for instance, sometimes it makes a noise, like an alert of some sort, and then I don't know where the alert is. It's not there. It's not on the screen. You have to track it down by knowing where the app is that tells you what that alert meant.
Oh, right, because you have multiple programs going at once.
Yeah.
And like what you said about defaults, I think it's interesting. I mean, when you turn something on, like location, it should just slowly turn on and ramp up to more, not turn everything on and then have to start turning specific things off.
Yes.
To prevent, like, unintentional reporting of, like, your location and stuff like that.
Yeah. I think I also mentioned something that happened in the past that was annoying, where I actually used the GPS function through Bluetooth, which doesn't work all the time, only works some of the time. Sometimes you actually have to look at the phone while you're driving to see where you are, because it doesn't go on blue. I don't know what the reason is. I ask everybody I know, and no one understands it. But one time I put in an address, and I had typed Route 100 instead of Route 10 in New Jersey. And it didn't tell me, look, you moron, there's no Route 100 in the town you're going in. Didn't say anything like that. I think this is Google's fault. Yes, I'm blaming Google. I think what they did was they just took my address, the address I put in, and interpreted what they thought I meant without even asking me. And then I wound up in front of an urgent care facility in that town because they deemed that was where I wanted to go. And then when I looked at the phone, there was absolutely no record of me putting in that address or the address I put in originally. They just basically rewrote it to go there. You know, it's like one of those searches where you type a word wrong and it says, no, this is what you meant. And no, it wasn't what you meant. You meant to spell it that way, but they don't give you those results. It was really... I was lucky I was able to find the address again because I was kind of in the middle of nowhere, literally. But that's the kind of thing that can happen when assumptions are made. Anyway, I could rail on about the smartphones forever and ever. I know this. And somehow that makes me old-fashioned, which I guess is the good way of being old-fashioned.
Well, but it's interesting that these things evolve and they push us, you know, they dump us into like a new sphere of stuff that we sort of have to deal with other mistakes and consequences of it.
Yes.
It's like IPv6, you know, okay, I have IPv6, nothing works, but I have it now, and, you know, just stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, I've been hearing about that for, what, a decade now, if not more?
right, and this is the year, and, you know, and... we're never going to use anything else, or, you know, and other, there's other technologies, or, you know, now social media is the only way to, you know, only way to find out about events or any kind of anything that's going on, or, you know, you hear these different paradigms come up, and it's like, it's a neat thing technologically, but we can't, like, all adopt everything all the time and still keep our sanity.
I've had entire conversations with people.
What's the fix?
Uh-huh. I've had entire conversations with people where there's an event coming up that I don't know about. They don't tell me about. The event happens, and the next time I see them, I'm like, why didn't you tell me about the event? Oh, I tweeted about it. They tweeted about it. I didn't see the tweet. I didn't read their Twitter. But I was with them in the same room, and it couldn't be mentioned then for some reason because they tweeted about it. I mean...
It's only on social media that it is to be spoken of. It is known.
Yeah. Oh, thanks for that. That's, yeah, a Game of Thrones reference. That's what I needed to hear. It's coming up again soon, you know. It's coming up in a month or two.
Is it?
It is known. Oh, yeah, I threw it right back at you.
Didn't know that.
Well, yeah. It's coming up. So, all right, going back to the Super Bowl, though. It's happening in New York, and actually it's happening in Times Square because... they've basically made what they call Super Bowl Boulevard. I would call it Cannabis Bowl Boulevard, but that's just me.
I hear they have slides.
Slides now?
Some kind of sliding thing and games.
I don't know about this.
Banners, all these kinds of things in Times Square.
Okay. See, I'm staying away from Times Square.
I imagine it'd be... a bit crazy, but yeah, there's all kinds of billboards with lights, I believe, in Times Square, and lots of banners, and there was some kind of, like, what's that fair thing where it's like a ramp that's curvy and you ride down on like a sack or like a rug or something?
Sounds like a mix of a potato race and skiing.
I don't know. I saw some crazy... just all kinds of rigging and stages, and it seems like they're going to have some pregame and all kinds of events.
Well, not only in Times Square, but Brooklyn, even Jersey City is getting in on the act because they're in the same state as where it's actually taking place.
Oh, gosh.
By the way, New Jersey, okay, we've got the New York Islanders. They play in Uniondale in Nassau County. Do you think they call them the Uniondale Islanders or the Nassau County Islanders or even the Long Island Islanders? No, they call them the New York Islanders because Nassau County is a suburb of New York City. And I know this is going to cause riots in the street, but parts of New Jersey are suburbs of New York. Yeah, I said it. And that's how, you know, change the names of the teams. That's a good first step. Call them the New Jersey Giants, New Jersey Jets. Maybe you'll get some some recognition that it's actually in New Jersey, but it's kind of late for this. The other thing that annoys me are people complaining about the weather. Now, football is this all-weather sport. So why is it the Super Bowl always has to be played in something in a warm environment? It should be played if it snows, if there's ice, if there's rain, no matter what. It's an all-weather sport, so it should be an all-weather event, right? Isn't that fair?
Yeah, I agree. I think, I mean, as far as I can remember watching football, and I don't watch football a whole heck of a lot, but I did have family members that liked it a lot, and it was always something you'd see occasionally played in wet weather or snow even, so I don't know what the fuss is about. I know it's really cold out there, or it's been, you know, nice.
Yeah,
really,
and the players are concerned. It should be the fans who are concerned. They're the ones sitting in seats, not doing anything. The players are running around, getting a nice workout. They've got these uniforms on. There's the talk is, are they going to wear long sleeves or short sleeves? Really, guys, come on. If it's minus 5 degrees Fahrenheit, put on a sweater or something. Take care of yourselves. It's common sense. Of course, if you had common sense, you wouldn't be playing the game.
Maybe the uniforms will be so colorful that they'll keep the players warm.
That could work. It's a theory, but I'm not sure. In addition to all this, of course, well, you know how it started. The first inkling I ever heard of the Super Bowl coming to New York was after 9/11, where some politicians thought that would be a nice gesture, a nice way of recognizing the importance of New York by having the Super Bowl in that vicinity. And you can see how long it took them to actually do it. What better way, though, to commemorate 9/11 than to bring the biggest security nightmare of all time right back into the tri-state area? This is turning into craziness. They're installing cameras all over the place. They say these extra 200 cameras in the Times Square area are temporary cameras. I don't know why they need temporary cameras when they already have enough cameras there to see every movement you can possibly make. But they're going to be going nuts just watching and waiting. And you think the Sochi Olympics or something, that's going to be something too. But this is one day, and it's really, really intense and really crowded, and a lot of nerves. A lot of nerves are being frayed.
What a headache.
Yeah.
Well, I hope it isn't too much of a upending normal life around there in the city.
Well, I'm staying away.
And hopefully the fans are respectful, and it's a good game. That's I guess, the best you could hope for.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. Of course, the topic of the show tonight is not going to be football, even though we're 48 minutes into a one-hour program.
Yeah.
We have to talk about the issue, the main issue being, of course, Justin Bieber and the trouble that he's gotten himself into lately. How is the West Coast dealing with that, Kyle?
Well, I mean, the vigil's been ongoing since the incarceration.
Uh-huh.
And, yeah, basically they've got a sort of beautiful display of stuffed animals and flower, lots of well-wishers, and it's been riveting, really, to see the emotion, the outpouring of support, really, from Canada, up here, in BC area. Obviously, there's a lot of support, and that comes down here into Seattle too. The Tacoma Dome, I'm sure, is really upset. I'm sure that's a venue he frequents.
Well, I'm looking at the story in today's Daily News, and the headline is Justin Bieber to be arraigned in Florida on Valentine's Day. And they go into this whole big thing about how he shouldn't bring candy to the judge on Valentine's Day. And in the end, it turns out he's going to send his lawyer anyway. He's not even going to be in the state. But, it's just, it boggles my imagination, which has been boggled quite a lot lately, how this is a story basically, the guy is accused of DUI, and they look at his blood alcohol level, and it's so low that it's not even significant in any way. He's on some kind of prescribed medication, which he didn't have to tell to the cop. He was being honest, and he had smoked a joint earlier. They charged him with DUI, which maybe applies, maybe not. He was drag racing in a street in Miami Beach, which you shouldn't do. granted. 55 miles an hour, though? I mean, I'm not a big drag racer. That's not very fast for drag racing, is it?
Yeah, and his rented yellow Lamborghini could probably have gone a lot faster.
It seems a little lame. I mean, I'm not saying he should have been drunk off his ass and doing 120 and you know, coked out on all kinds of things. No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying this is getting way too much attention. It's an infraction, yes. It's not the end of the world.
It started from the infamous egging.
That's another thing. Okay, they keep mentioning
Operation Yolk or Operation Omelet. I can't remember which one it was.
They raid his house because of an egging incident, and then I'm hearing that this egging incident cost like tens of thousands of dollars of damage. How? What kind of eggs are these that can cause that kind of damage to a house?
They were weaponized eggs, E, and you know that.
What does that mean? I'm starting. I don't even know who his neighbor is, and I don't like his neighbor because really, $20,000 of damage from eggs? It's a lot of eggs. Either that or your house is built out of something completely breakable, no matter what touches it.
I honestly think he's being pressured into something that he doesn't want to be pressured into, and can't handle it, and you know, isn't you know, feeling totally well. And I don't know, much ado is being made in the media. And you can think about it a lot, but I'm slightly sympathetic because you can't go anywhere if you're this kind of, like, goody celebrity kind of poster child. And I think a lot of us can't, we don't have that kind of exposure. So, I mean, that's one thing to consider, so.
You know, interesting, too, I'm just reading this now for the first time. There's GPS data from his rental car company. He rented the car?
Yeah, it's a rented car.
Okay, I thought it was his. He rented the car, but the GPS data says he was driving right around the 30-mile-an-hour speed limit at the time cops claimed he was drag racing in, get this, the 2600 block of Pine Tree Drive.
Sweet.
Yes. The GPS device allegedly clocked the Lambo going around 50 miles per hour when it left a nightclub about a mile away, but then it dropped much closer to the limit. We're talking 50 and 30. You know, this is what people do every day. You're on the Long Island Expressway. People are doing 75 in a 55 zone all the time, and people are passing them, and no one's pulling them over. I'm not saying this is right and that people should speed in residential neighborhoods or anything like that. I'm just trying to weigh this against the publicity it's getting, which is insane. And that's just part of our culture, that we focus on these things. I know we're focusing on it now. I'd like to think we're focusing more on the actual media attention than the incident itself, which I don't think was much of an incident.
Yeah. I mean, that goes back to what I was thinking. It's like, it's tough to get away, I think. And that, I hope for this young person to, like, be able to get away to some degree or another and, like, be able to be just, you know, average and think about your life a little bit and your career if he's that, you know, so concerned about it, about what people think. And,
yeah, this constant scrutiny can drive you insane, and I'm worried what might happen to him as a result of everything being judged like this. You know, they list all his infractions in the last year, and most of them are just, you know, kid stuff, literally, like, okay, urinating where you're not supposed to urinate, or saying something you're not supposed to say, or just being goofy or stupid. It's part of being somebody who's kind of awkward and growing up, and we really need to stop being so judgmental. And also, we need to stop fixating so much on people.
Right. I mean, and it is larger than life. I mean, he's escaping and all of that, too. Because, I mean, it's not realistic. I mean, driving that kind of car around, yeah, I mean, only happens, I guess, in Miami. And, you know, you're kind of there under scrutiny. And it's not like he's driving in traffic. You know, he could go 50 to pass some situation and not be under as much scrutiny if he was a Lamborghini owner in, you know, Cincinnati or something.
Yeah, if I put you in a yellow Lamborghini, I'm sorry, this isn't about color, a Lamborghini, right, and I put you in any place, you're not going to do 30, all right, all the time. You're going to want to crank it up a little bit more above 30 at some point. So the fact that he was doing 50 on a different road, which might have been a 50-mile-an-hour speed limit for all I know, that
right,
shouldn't be...
Right, in the middle of the night with, you know, nobody else around. You know, the situation is just silly, you know.
It is. It
larger
is.
Than life kind of thing.
Hey, you know what else? Not many people know about this, but the State of the Union Address by President Barack Obama is happening tonight. Did you know that?
Yeah, he's and the Year of the Horse is going to be a big topic.
What now? Wait, it's Chinese New Year.
Yeah.
When?
I can't believe you don't have any. I thought, didn't we put together a story in the news meeting about this?
No, I don't. Wow, it's today, isn't it? The 28th. I think it's the 28th. Well, they always do it on a Sunday in Chinatown, so maybe I missed it.
It's past.
Oh, wow.
So,
it's the Year of the Horse, you say?
It is the Year of the Horse. So I did want to mention that just in a few seconds that you had, and I will be eager to hear about the direction of our country in this new year from the chief executive branch there.
Well, no doubt he'll announce the latest plans to drive us into a socialist dictatorship.
Yes.
And, that's what I'm hoping to hear. And he'll be bypassing Congress and making them irrelevant and eventually executing them, I believe. Did I get that right?
I did see that part. It was penciled in the margins, but yeah, I got that on the...
Well, I'll be looking forward to seeing that as well. So, action-packed things going on. You know?
It will be an edge of the seat. You know, I think we're going to hear a lot about where we've, come from, you know, how long, what things were getting done, and that it's hard work. People are still struggling. You know, we've had a lot of successes, but we're going to keep fighting, keep going, and we got new projects and new initiatives, and I think that's going to really be the tenor of it, is that we've got a long ways to go, and people are still struggling out there, and that's all going to be really encouraging to hear for the nation.
Any predictions as to who in the crowd that he's going to acknowledge and point to, and that'll stand up and bow, and everybody will applaud, whom that might be?
I don't know. Not Harry Reid.
Probably not. I know Boss Hogg from Duck Dynasty.
We probably have people there illustrating some of the projects, and
well,
there's been some
Boss,
coverage
this
about
guy,
that.
Boss Hogg from Duck Dynasty, is going to be in the crowd, but not at Obama's invitation. At some Republican politician decided to invite him. So that'll be interesting, but I don't think he'll be acknowledged.
No, I don't think so.
Well, okay, so that starts in a little while, and we'll be watching that as well. Kyle, can I say Kyle, or should I be calling you Clyde now? Which is it?
Clyde S. Dale. No, you can just refer to me as Kyle.
Wait a minute, Clyde
it's
S. Dale. This is a horse thing, so this is all about the Year of the Horse. That's why you want to call yourself Clyde.
I don't know. I don't know where these things get made up. I think, yeah, that and the whole Super Bowl thing, we're going to see a lot of beer and those kinds of things, and mascots and all that. But no, it's not true. It's going to the State of Kyle. I'm not going to change my name, excuse me, anytime soon.
Okay, well, thank you. That's going to save me a lot of time drawing up petitions and things like
that.
Listen, we're out of time. Also, a very sad note. You might have heard the death of Pete Seeger, one of the most amazing singers of all time. 94 years old. There is talk now, I just heard this earlier today, of course he died last night, but they're thinking of naming the new Tappan Zee Bridge after Pete Seeger, which I think would be an amazing thing. He had so much to do with the Hudson River and making it a lot more environmentally safe than the way it was. So many amazing words and knowledge that came out of this guy. And it's a voice that I'll never be able to forget, and I think this country will never be able to forget as well. So we're going to go out with Pete Seeger's song, predictably enough. And, Kyle, I want to thank you so much for being a part of the show and for giving your expertise.
Oh, yeah, I did my best, as always, and thanks for having me on, and anytime in the future.
And I will be rooting for Seattle on Sunday. I will be.
Oh, that's good to hear. I can't say who I'm rooting for.
All right, this is a Pete Seeger song you probably haven't heard. Have a good night.
To make a long, long story terse, be it blessing, be it curse, the Lord designed this universe with built-in obsolescence. each twinkling little star and sun enjoys its own atomic run, exploding when its time is done with cosmic incandescence. Astronomers predict someday our own sun will blaze away. There'll be a glorious display of sunburst helium masses. Our little planet Earth below will join this pyrotechnic show with blazing hydrogen aglow and thermonuclear gases. Thank God this great combustion day is several billion years away. So as philosophers all say, why fret, why fume, why worry? A jillion moons will wane and wax. Sit down, make out your income tax. Enjoy your life, be calm, relax, for God is in no hurry. But oh, my friends, I have a hunch mankind might beat God to the punch.